Guys behind me, I'm going to do my preaching this direction. I got one of them bang 'em up, beat 'em up Baptist messages, I think, that ought to do well for these bunch of pudding heads behind me. Why are y'all behind me anyway? Yeah, bunch of jerks. I'm not supposed to say that anymore. I've been schooled recently on all my politically incorrect speech.
And on the way to church.
On the way to church, yeah. And I probably ought to clean some things up. Not dirty words. I'm talking about just normal words that we normally say. Yeah. Amen?
Come on, Henry.
So I shouldn't call people with the R word or the F word or the He used the F word down in Georgia. He did.
It was
yeah. I used the F word at camp. It was fat. You ain't supposed to call people fat. And I'm like, you know, after a while, you know, it's like the LGBTQRSTUV bunch. You can't say anything without offending somebody. And I honestly don't mean to offend anybody by what I say. It just happens. But I have no personal intent on calling Brother Mark fat or anything else. Or Brother Stephen Meyer, he's a heavy-duty beauty. Hang around him. He's tons of fun. Oh, yeah, Trump. What does that mean? He fat too, huh? Yeah, okay. Well, a bunch of clowns around here. You can't do anything for God without a bunch of...
Let me tell you how this got started.
Yeah, I know how it got started.
My granddaughter, Abigail, when Obama was running against McCain, we're watching the news, and she said, Pop, who are you voting for? I said, lesser evil. And she said, I'm voting for Brother Stocker.
Yeah, I got the under 10 vote. Yeah, I got all them kid vote. I think I'd rather have that vote than a bunch of adult pervert vote. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Job 39, get on a little more serious vein. This is really not a bang him up, beat him up message, actually. It's hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. It's just going to be a good time. I enjoy preaching it. Hope you enjoy listening. I think starting a revival out, sometime you start out, you know, against sin. You know, the old preachers like Brother Roloff used to say and Bob Jones Sr., they'd take 2 weeks just preaching on sin. You say, oh, what's sin? They'd find out. They'd go around town. People say, well, they're doing this and doing that. And so that's the topic of the message that night. They didn't generally shotgun things. They generally took a rifle, you know, with a scope on it and started shooting and picking people off. And so revivals in the old days were basically preach against sin for 2 weeks, not even give an invitation, and preach on salvation and the glory of God, the last one, and they'd have towns changed. Change towns. But nowadays, you got a camp meeting, you got a revival or something, you start off preaching on sin, you're the bad guy. So I am not going to be the bad guy. I'm not going to say bad words. No more. Bunch of retards always think that I say bad words. That's the R word. I didn't even know what the R word was. They got a principal fired in Texas one time for using the R word. And in the whole article, I didn't know what it was. No kidding. It says, and he used the R word. And this, and I thought, wow. I know. I mean, I was lost before I got saved. I don't know any R words. And finally, I had to ask at church, and some of the teachers that teach at public school, they told me, this means retard. I said, that's all he said, and they fired the dude. Hey, we're getting too thin-skinned, man. Now, really, but honestly, I am not trying to offend anybody. If I did, I'll apologize to you for something like that. If it hurts your feelings, I will apologize to you. All right, so I won't now. He said not to. Job 39. Get your Bible turned to Job 39. It's good to be with you guys again. I enjoy being up here. I mean, in Yankee land for a little while, and enjoy seeing all these faces that I've seen over the years, and several new ones, and hopefully some old ones stick around. That's a blessing, amen? Job 39, I'm just going to preach on horses. That's what I'm going to preach on, horses. Preach on dogs one time. I don't leave horses out. Amen? Job 39, look at verse 19 in your Bible. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou... Make him afraid as a grasshopper. The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley. And old Lester Olof had a whole sermon on pawing in the valley. Any of y'all ever heard that? How many of y'all heard that? Not very many. Well, you ought to get on there and hear him preach on pawing in the valley. Man, that'll stir you up. Pawing in the valley actually is just getting with it and keeping on going and keeping on going and keeping on going. You know, keep pawing at it. Well, anyway, that's not what I'm preaching on, but I thought you'd like that little advertisement for Lester Olof. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. That means he's real fast. He don't turn back. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He doesn't turn around. He doesn't believe in a retreat call when they sounded on the trumpet. There is no retreat.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Woo!
Yeah,
I might get emotional, but I'll enjoy it.
Yep,
that's what I'm going to do. I intend to have a good time. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha, there's your horse laugh. And he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. You see that, man? I mean, that horse, he says, man, I ain't quitting, I ain't stopping, and nobody going to stop me either, and I'm not turning back. Even if they give the order, turn back. He said, I ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
Woo! Meet some people like that.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the people that showed up. I pray most of all your Holy Spirit would show up. God, we need your presence. We need your power. I need the anointing of God to be able to say something that would touch every heart in some way where you'd preach to them. Say something over here and you're preaching to them over there. And look, God, it's a miraculous thing that goes on. People get saved when you're preaching about at a wedding or something. People get saved at other times and then people get under conviction of at a nice message. I don't know. But I pray your will and your way be done this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. And I got a nice message, and then Brother Jim's going to give you a mean one and get you down at the altar. Amen. At least I hope he is. Anyway, but I was reading about the charges, you know, and they had a 1,000 French Foreign Legion, you know, that had this guy. They were swapping stories of these VFW thing, over foreign war things, and this guy said, I fought in the French Foreign Legion. He said, you did? And they said, I was in this battle, and we were this, and I was in this battle. He said, well, I was in the French Foreign Legion. He said, one time it was 1,000 to 3. He said, really? He said, and we charged. He said, well, what happened? He said, we got all three of them. 1,000 to 3,000. You guys are not doing too good. That was a good joke, really. I think it's good when Brother Chandler told it to me. I'm going to blame him. Amen. All right, my mom liked horses. My dad did not like horses. We lived on a farmer ranch and a big old ranch kind of stuff. And so I grew up riding horses for work and pleasure. But my mom loved them. She liked to watch horses run. She just loved horses. My dad, when he was a boy about 12 years old, one of them kicked him in the head and he broke his skull. And he actually had, for the rest of his life, a big old dent in his skull. And after that, he wasn't too keen on horses. Now, he still messed with them because we needed them, and he still would do things. As a matter of fact, he tore his old arm up one time. He roped this one stallion and trying to put it around a center post so he could bring it in. You know how, if you know how to do it, you bring them in. How many of y'all ride horses? You ever rode a horse? Well, good night. I'm preaching to cotton picking a mortuary or something here. You've at least seen a horse on a movie, hadn't you? All right. Yeah, there we go. We got some people raise their hand for that. Anyway, we got a graveyard in front of me. I'm going to raise the dead. But back home, you know, when I was growing up, you got these cowboy churches all growing up nowadays, you know. I mean, I don't know if they got them out here. They got a cowboy church up in Yankee Land. They don't do that, do they? Well, they got biker boys. You know, they got little biker boys, you know. You know, the real bikers, you know. I mean, I knew a guy. We had a guy who was the head of the president of the Bandidos Motorcycle Gang for a chapter in New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas. Panhandle had a chapter, and he was the president of it. James Atkins is the name. He went by the name Tucker, that old big old boy, he come to church one time because the kids were coming, and he wanted to see if we was one of them cults or something. Well, he sat back right about there, but at the end of the service, I mean, this is a hulk. I mean, just a big old boy, tattooed, short, one of them wife beater shirts on, and he comes walking down toward me, and I'm thinking, well, it's going to get weirdly Western around here pretty soon. And so I thought, didn't know what he's coming for. And then I saw he's crying, and we got down, he's bawling his head off, so I didn't get saved. And I wasn't even preaching on salvation. And that's why I said, man, just Lord doing something. That old boy got saved. He started carrying his Bibles, wore sleeves down to here to cover up his tattoos and really got going for God. And then his wife, his girlfriend, biker gal, anyway. And he said, we need to get married. She said, I ain't marrying no biker. They already had two kids. She didn't want to marry a biker. You're living with him. Well, anyway, the long story short is he had to move out. He had just gotten out of prison when I met him for murder in a federal pen. And so he said, I didn't do it, though. I said, I believe you. I believe you. Because I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, that jury is stupid as far as I can tell. Anyway, so I learned something about him, from bikers, a little bit about that. They always run in packs. I call them rats. I did that at a deal one time. Boy, that got a couple of bikers really mad at me. You know, they said, run a rat pack. The reason you're running rat packs is can't do nothing by yourself, you big sissies. Well, that generally tends to make a guy get a little bit opposite me. And so what happened? And, the good news is we didn't fight, and it was good news. He was in a mission, rescue mission, and, well, I'll tell you the story. Anyway. I was up there preaching. I was preaching on rebellion, and I said something about that. And I didn't even know he was a biker in the bunch. But he gets up, and he got all his colors on, his vest and everything. He comes walking down the aisle. Well, I had this old boy, 75 years old. He's about, I mean, he wasn't 90 pounds dripping wet. He's old geezer and flat. No hair hardly, and just skinny as a rail. And he was my friend, though. And this old boy come walking down the aisle, say, you say that about me? And anyway, I know Brother Bennett was his name. And Brother Bennett jumped and grabbed that dude around the neck and arm. And it's kind of like a flea, you know, on an elephant or something. And the guy surprised him so bad, he didn't know what to do. He's like, what? What are you doing? And I told him, Brother Bennett, leave him alone, leave him alone. I'll take care of myself. You leave him alone. Anyway, but what happened was the guy just got so flustered, he just turned and left. And I said, no kidding. I thought, poor old Brother Bennett, he's just a mess. That'd been into Brother Bennett, poor old fella. But back home, they got we call them biker boys, churches, you know. You got all these, they call them rubs. I was getting to that. That's what he called them. He said, they're a bunch of rubs. That's rich urban bikers, you know. They put on their stuff and their do-rag, and they put on a blum, 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 and they got the big ape hangers, and they got the leather strap going back, and they get out their Saturday drive around and Sunday, and then Sunday night they come back, and then they go to the bank and go to work the next day. You know, that's the big bad boys, you know. And the biker churches, they got actual biker churches where these guys go to. I don't know what you do. Brother Mark talked about them. What do you do at a biker church? Be rough and tough and mean and smoke dope? Yeah, I guess they're doing that now. But anyway, back home they got what they call cowboy churches. Cowboy churches, you know, some of them, they wouldn't know which way to get on a horse. They'd get on and say, where's his head? You know, they just don't know much about them. We called them Rexall Rangers. Rexall Rangers, a drugstore cowboy. That means all hat and no cattle. That means they act like they're some big cowboy dally up and we're on spit and chewing tobacco and boy, that. And what do they do Monday? Go back to the bank, go down to wherever and do whatever they're going to do. They couldn't ride a horse all day if their life depended on it. Anyway, so you got people like that. And horses are something I'm very familiar with. Grew up with them. And so I grew up. You got those fake charts of the equine, you know, and the little bitty mesohippus, eohippus, and all them things as you go on up. If you learn them in school, probably, if you went to public school. But anyway, horses were brought to America in 1493, Columbus's second voyage. And you got all kind of horses. Did you ever realize that? You got Clydesdales, big suckers, big ones. I went and saw them one time at the Budweiser place. They got a, they're giving free samples. You know, us Baptists like free, so. No, I didn't drink nothing. Me and my wife, she wanted to see Clydesdales, and they had them, so we went and looked at them. But they're big. They're like it's the back of them. I mean, a bunch of hands tall. And then you got the little miniature ones. I'm not talking about Shetland ponies. Any of y'all familiar with Shetland ponies? They ought to shoot every one of them. I don't like them. They'll bite you. They're mean. Just shoot them all. Well, anyway, but they got a little pony about this big. Shut up. I told you he ain't supposed to sit back there. Anyway, y'all seen them little miniature horses? They look like our full-grown horse, except they're only about that big. Y'all seen them? And they put them in a little carrier. I mean, they got a guy in a little cart, and they run around. They have races and weird miniature people. What do you call them? I better not say. What are they? What is them short people? I'll leave it alone. Not midgets. No. We won't use that word. But anyway, you got different kind of horses, and horses, if you liken them to people, you got big horses, little horses, you got all kind of different horses, and that's what I was going to do. I grew up riding horses, like I said, for work or pleasure, but mostly quarter horses is what I rode, and that's not the one that was out in front of Walmart that they pulled the plug on. Put a quarter in and ride until they pull the plug on it. You kids don't even know what that is. You know why? They're scared you'll fall off and sue the place, so they got rid of them all. Isn't that the craziest world we live in? You can't even, I don't even think they got the little cars that go like that anymore. Afraid some kid will sue the store. But I've been bucked off. I just fell off. I've been stepped on. I've been kicked. I've been head-butted when I'm leaning forward. But it's head down like it's eating, and it goes wham like that and hits you right in the face. It's just, they're lovely animals. I've been hit by them. Knocked over. I've been trying to get rubbed off against the fence. You got to take your foot out of the stirrup so they grab it into the fence. And then I grab the rein and just pull them in a big circle. You got to let them know who's boss. Once they figure out you can ride, they'll leave you alone pretty much. They're smart. They got some smart horse sense to them. But at any rate, I've been bucked off. I fell off one time, a little kid. And I was fat. That's why I said fat. I said, I got called fat. I got over it. Amen. But I remember I was like, a little old kid, 10 years old, my dad says, hey, them cows are out in the wheat field. Go get them horses and get out there and get them out of the wheat field. So we run out there, and we didn't have time to put a saddle and everything on them, so we just threw a halter on them and jumped up on them. We was like wild Indians, you know. We was, can't say Indian, Native Americans. And we was, and we were, so we were riding, and I'm fat, and fat bounces, and I'm going, boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden, I'm getting off to one side, and I'm going, I can't, my little fat legs couldn't get around her. And my brother's all ahead of me, and I'm like, hey, hey. And finally, I had to just shove off to keep from getting run over. And they went and got him and took care of everything. And so, I don't know if you ever fell off a horse. I mean, it can be serious. You fall off a horse sometime, it hurts you. And things like get kicked in the head with a horse, you'll never be the same. You won't. Amen. I don't know why I even laughed. Just thought it was good. Well, anyway, you got wild horses. I got to hurry up. Brother Jim got to get straightened this mess out here. Good thing we got somebody after me today. We're kind of rummed up. I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning. And
what were the pills you were taking?
I don't know. We were just dipping in, sharing them. We thought they were help us stay awake. But out in the West, this is not here, but out in the West, they have wild horses. You probably heard about them at least. And I mean, big herds, hundreds of wild horses, and they're propagating pretty good. They about every year, 20% more wild horses. They got to go hunt them down and shoot them. You say, well, that's a terrible thing. That's not as bad as the French. French eat horses. Now, me, somehow, somewhere along the line, I that's kind of like mortal sin or something. I don't, you shouldn't kill. I mean, they're probably a clean animal. They don't split the hoof and they chew the cud or whatever it is. But I mean, to me, I just couldn't do it. I mean, if I starved to death, I guess I could. But I wouldn't eat a horse. And so they kill them out there just to keep them. Or they can sell them to unsuspecting stupid people, and like my brothers did, and they buy them, and you take them, and you have to break them and everything else. You can't sell them after that for a while. I'm not sure because I never bought them, but they're like Mustangs. You know what a Mustang? Not the car, the horse. Anyway, but they're all kind of variety of wild horses. Now, wild horses ain't good for anything. They tear up things. They get on the ranch. They bust through fences. They do all kind of things. If you ever know. I've been around horses and a barbed wire fence. All right. How many of y'all know what a barbed wire fence is? Okay, got it. I'm good. I was probably in the third grade before I knew it was a barbed wire fence. It was just, everybody I grew up with, it's called barbed wire. Get that barbed wire out there and make that fence. And I'm like, barbed wire. Well, I went to school and I saw that out in the West, they put these barbed wire fences. I thought, another enlightenment, little light went on. I thought, that's what that, it's not barbed wire, it's barbed wire. But never caught on with me. But what horses do, they run through them, they cut themselves, and you got to get called a vet, and they're very expensive. But anyway, Mustangs is one of them. Some of y'all probably backslid and went and saw a movie called Hidalgo. It was about a Mustang out west that had long-distance races. Like 1,000-mile races. Well, they entered this horse in Saudi Arabia in a 3,000-mile, across-the-desert horse race. I don't know if you ever saw it, but it's based on the truth. Now, a lot of that junk that happened on there, because I got backslid and watched it myself. But anyway, it wasn't bad, rated nothing bad. But anyway, he rode that thing all the way, 3,000 miles, and ended up winning the thing. I mean, against some Arabian stallions and everything. That was amazing. But anyway, those horses are untamed. You got to tame them. You got to break them, or they're no good. And bless God, everybody here was like a wild horse. They called it like a wild ass's colt in another place. And everybody here is like that. You got to, number one, get caught. And then you got to be broke before you're worth anything. And everybody here, you know, you plain worthless before. You say, oh, I had a big business and I made a lot of money. And yeah, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I mean, at the end of the day, if you're not saved, you're not living for God, your life's a big zero with the ring knocked off. But anyway, so you were like that. But then you got other kind of horses called like a work horses, you know, like I said, the Clydesdales or draft horses. They pull wagons and plows and different things, and they're just big old lug, big horses that just do a lot of heavy lifting, heavy work. And for years, for centuries and centuries, up until, cars, pickups, and tractors and things, horses did all that stuff. They had a few times oxen would. They got across from the east to the west coast in Conestoga wagons, and a lot of them used horses to do that, them old draft horses. And then we'd get out there, they'd start a farm, and then that same horse would hook it up to a plow, and it'd plow the ground. Now, every church, you ought to have some good work horses. And every church, if you got a church, you got them. Or you wouldn't have a church. Without a workhorse, you don't have a church. Because people around, you'll find out on average, 10% of the people in a church do all the work. That's about right. Now, our church, I'm going to tell you, and I'll bet you it's more than that here, I hope. But I mean, I can count them up at our church, and it's over 50 to probably 75% of our church. They're active. Like I said, guy asked the preacher, says, are your church members active? I said, shoot, we got 100% of our church members are active. 50% are against me and 50% are for me. We're very active in trying to get rid of me. But, you know, the idea being is everybody here ought to have a job, have a work. Sometimes it's a long, hard work. And the old saying is, you know, road hard, put away wet. And a lot of times you just work and keep at it and keep at it. That's where old sermon there, pawing in the valley, come from, the people that just keep at it. Right. I mean, I come here and I see some of you guys, they're still here, they keep at it. Yep. I mean, they've been coming almost ever since I've been here, and they keep at it. Amen. We got people like that, got saved when we very first started the church, and they're still in church. Amen. And bless God, you don't have much of a church if you can't retain somebody. Yep. Now, every church, you're going to have people, they come to a point, and they decide, that's enough. I'm not working anymore. I'm not going to do anything anymore. Anyway, but you know, every church needs a workhorse. Amen. Carry the load. If you can't say, well, I'm too old, well, prayer warriors then. Amen. You can pray. We got people in a nursing home pray for our church. We got people that are old that can't get out to sow when they can't get out to do a lot of things, so they pray. Yeah. And we got people who watch our TV on I got a TV program, but I mean watch the online streaming because they're crippled and they can't go anywhere, so they stay and watch it on there. But you got workhorses on a ranch. Now, that's more I'm familiar with them. A lot of them are quarter horses, and I don't know if you've ever seen a cutting horse. You ever been to rodeo where they have cutting horses? If you don't know what that means you got a mama cow here and a baby cow here, and it's time to wean that rascal and get the mama away from the baby. And so you got to split them up. so that they can feed them separate and get them fatter and then kill them. And you can eat hamburger. Anyway, that's where they come from. But anyway, so you got to have a cutting horse to get them, separate them out. And if you ever get to go to rodeo, that's one of the best things to watch is cutting horses. And because those will get in there and do things. And they're really good working as far as doing things for the cowboys. Work horses at feedlots. Now they got feedlots. And I don't know if you know what feedlots are either. You all know what a feedlot is? Raise your hand. Not many. It's where you got like 30,000 cows in a place about this big. No, I mean, it's bigger than that. You got 101 pen, 100 cows per pen. One by our church about, 4 or 5 miles away. Brother Mark's been there. Brother Jim's been there. It's like, I think it's 70,000 cows in that feedlot. It's a lot. And don't be downwind from them when there's this wet, bad weather. It stinks. So anyway, they got cowboys that go in there, and they go in there rain or shine. I mean, ice, cold, hot, 100 degrees, don't matter. You got to go on that horse, go into each pen, check every cow in that pen, and you get them up if they're laying down, rope the doofus things and pull them out if they need to move them or do something with them. Cows have a propensity for being lazy, and so they don't want to go where you want them to go. You got to rope them and pull them, and I've done a bunch of that, which isn't fun either. And so well, anyway, if you ever were raised out west, you'd get a lot more out of this sermon than you are than that bunch of calves staring at a new fence. What in the world is he talking about, Brother Ryman? I'll be done in a minute. Amen? Too many people, though, another kind of horse, race horses. You know what race horses? We got back home. We got a quarter horse. Quarter horses were named because they had a quarter mile. Now you all know about race horses. Yes. Y'all bet on them. Y'all Dover down here, Dover down. Now I have to admit, we got a lady at our church. She loves horses. She loves horse racing, and she wins money at horse racing. And I said, tithe. She does. My name's Miss Judy. You know Judy at our church, sits in the back. She bets on them. I tell them, sin, I preach against it. You quit betting, you're like a devil and everything. She goes, yes, preacher. I won last week. I thought, she, boom, right over her head, man. But anyway, we got too many race horses. They go real fast and then they drop out. And every one of us has been in the ministry quite a while. We know people that started off, buddy, by gangbusters going after it. And, buddy, all of a sudden they just plop, they quit. And, you know, I see some of these guys, and they beat themselves to death. They're trying their hardest and beat their head against the wall. Their family's suffering for the whole thing. They're going to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist. I mean, whether God wants them to or not, they just believe, I got to stay faithful, and they go beating and beating. I said, do something else. I mean, after a year and you ain't got the hand of God on you or a blessing of God in some way, find something where God will bless you. But sadly, most of these guys just quit church altogether. They get mad at God. You knock on their door sometime. You're visiting around. You find an old boy in there sitting there sipping beer, watching a football game. Well, I used to try to preach. But I'll tell you, these people ain't no good. And I'll tell you, and all of a sudden, here's an old racehorse, shooting star. Lasts a little while and just gave out because nobody seemed to recognize how good they could preach. I'm honestly amazed that our church people come to hear me because you've heard me. And I mean, I'm thinking, you know, but I've met guys, a young guy. I had a guy come up to my door. I got a sign out front, you know, so, and he said, you're a pastor, right? And him and his wife come up to my door. And they said, we're independent Baptists too. I said, well, good. Where you go to church? And they were another state, actually. They were just in town for something. But they saw the sign and they heard about it, so they thought to come up. And he said, his wife said, you know, you need to have my husband preach for you Sunday. And I said, really? Yeah, he's a fireball preacher. I mean, he needs to preach for you. I mean, this guy like 25 years old. Now, he might have been. He's not in the ministry anymore, but he might have been. He's just an old racehorse, man. I mean, they're just fired up. Boy, we're going to get him. You know the old Indian expression, you know, where it said, he who go to set world on fire, come back for more matches, you know. And so the idea is, you know, you run out of juice, and that's a test of what you're going to do when you run out of juice and you're going to keep on doing something for God. Amen. Amen. Then you got pretty horses. I'm going to give Brother Jim a hard time. Tennessee walking horses. Now, they're pretty. I grant you that. They're pretty, but they ain't much good for anything else. They're just pretty. They really. I mean, do you ever see how they walk them? Tennessee Walkers? You know, like that. And I'm going, I wouldn't get on a horse that does that. You know? I mean, that just looks, it just looks wrong. Anyway, but they're real pretty. I tell you, there's a lot of people in church. All they are is pretty, but they, you know, they. He's with me, amen, hallelujah. Anyway, you got some people, they just, all they do is, they're just there for looks. They don't do anything. They don't put their neck to the work. They don't carry the load. They don't try to work with somebody or like an old cutting horse and try to work things out and do things for people. They're just pretty horses. But then I get down to the last one because I'm going to let Brother Jim go here pretty quick. And let's go back to your text, if you would. And it says about him, verse 19, 20. Look that over just a little bit. We won't read it again necessarily. But you know what that is? That, whoo, is a war horse. That's my kind of horse. Whew. I read about them. I seen shows about them. And bless my soul, that's the toughest bunch of horses I think ever built was war horses. They were in battle. Teddy Roosevelt, if you want to know, not Teddy Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, was in the last cavalry charge that Britain was ever in. The last cavalry charge that Britain was in, Winston Churchill was in it. And it was in, I wrote the date down, September 2nd, 1898, before World War I. Before World War I, Winston Churchill was no sissy. My soul, man, he's in the Boer War. He was in this one in Sudan. He was in a lot of fighting all over, man. I mean, with the British government. But anyway, he was in a cavalry, what we'd call brigade or something. He's out with about 150 of them out in Sudan. They had the Muslims had taken over the part of Sudan there, Khartoum. They'd killed everybody, slaughtered everybody. And so the British were coming in to take it back. And so there's about 50 of them, of Muslims out in the middle of nowhere with old bows and arrows and old flintlock kind of cheap rifles. And they said, well, we're going to get them. We're going to go get them guys, kill some, and take the rest prisoner. So they took off charging out there toward them. And then all of a sudden, out of a ridge below where they didn't see were 2,000. No kidding. This isn't a joke this time, is it? 2,000 Muslims come running up on them. Now, they didn't have horses, but they come running up on them. And Man, old Winston Churchill said he didn't have a saber, so he used a pistol, an automatic pistol. They had them back then. And he said that's probably the only reason he didn't get killed. 193 of their horses were killed. Woo! I'll tell you, a bunch of the men were killed. 340 men in the British charge. And they killed, I can't remember, I didn't write it down, but they lost about 25 men were killed and about 100 of them wounded, et cetera. But they won. They beat the stinking Muslims. Amen. And I don't even care if you get offended if I say that. A bunch of stinking diaper heads, and we have to be nice to them. Amen. I don't call them towel heads. They got poop on their mind. And that's why they have a diaper on their head. I'll tell you, you ever run in that bunch. I've witnessed to a bunch of them. I've been to their deals. I've done it. I've had them over my house. We argued back and forth about this and that. And I've been to their places, and I've had them come to our church, invite them. Some of them came to our church. Had little old gals in college I was teaching there. Had a little old Muslim gals from Indonesia had come to our church and got later on crying about stuff. And I said, what's the matter? Well, anyway, long story short is I said, well, what if you just got saved and you come to church and stuff? They'd say, we can't. They said, we got home, my own dad would kill me. And they wasn't kidding either. Their own dad would kill them. But anyway, they're in this cavalry charge. And I think about a horses like that in a war horse. They made a movie about a war horse or something. Now, that might be the name of the movie. I'm not sure. But anyway, I watched it. Man, made me cry. I like horses in the sense that I like to see an animal that's got something to them. Like sometimes dogs are that way, horses like that. I think, man, oh, man, they got more character than the average person. Yeah. Yeah. More character than most people. I just, after I preached this message, Rebecca at our church came up and said there was a horse in Korea. that got a medal. Got several medals. And what that horse did, they had to have ammunition, like these big old shells. They had to take it from one location to another. Well, they couldn't do it because the North Koreans were killing off all the guys carrying the ammo. And so they got this horse, and they loaded him up, and a guy would go with it. Then it got too dangerous for the guys. They was wounding the guys. And that horse made 51 trips with ammo on its own. It would go up with ammo and run back and load it up and it'd go back. I said, man, yeah. It was wounded, bleeding, kept going. Man, to me, a war horse, I don't want to retire. I hear about people retiring. I had two people send me invitations to their retirement. Pastors were retirement. I wasn't going. Those stupid folks. Who in the world said 65 years? I'm 65. I know I don't look it. I'm only 30 or 40 looking, but I'm 65. And where do government tell preachers when they're supposed to retire? Huh?
Yeah.
Government doesn't tell me when to retire. God will, but they won't. I don't hit a certain age. I may get too decrepit and sick or whatever or something. I can't. But, I mean, till then, you're like a war horse. You just keep on going. So I can't do what I did, but I can do something.
Amen.
My old Jack Hiles said one time, he said, if I get so sick and I can't preach anymore, he said, I'll be a member of this. I'm a member of this church. I think I can go out and get two or three families a week to come. He didn't have to have a job to be able to serve God. He didn't have to have a title to serve God.
Amen.
If your aim in life is to please Jesus Christ, you can always do it.
Amen.
If your aim in life is to get a title, well, you might make it. Probably be disappointed.
Amen.
Probably won't be worth much either.
Yeah, right.
But I heard a guy tell us, illustrating, I read it in one of them books one time, and about these old World War I horses that they'd saved from getting butchered over in Europe, and they brought them back to the U.S., and they said they had about 50 horses out in the pasture that they'd saved. And they said the thunder started rolling. And them horses, whew, they just went out and lined up, stood on the top of the hill, ready to charge, just pawing, ready to go, ready for the command to charge. Old horses, still pawing. That's what I want to do. I'm getting up there. I still go street preaching. I still go door knocking. I still do what I did when I first started this mess out, and I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can.
Amen.
Really?
Yeah.
If it's right then, it's right now.
Yeah.
If it was right then to go preach on the street, I would hold up signs, pass out tracts, you know, go door knocking. If it's right then, it's right now. You start this quitting business. Well, you know, turn it over to the younger. You lazy bum.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm old. Well, you're ugly too. What else? That's no discharge in this war.
Amen.
You know, I thought about that one time. I said, most of the people who get to a certain age and retire from a job, let's say you got a job in town. I'm not against that at all, retiring from a job. But I said, they are full-time available for the ministry. They're getting paid full time because they got the retirement. They could serve God full time. You know, that's the desire of every young kid coming out of Bible school, is to be able to go full time in the ministry. And these guys got it. Say, what do they do with it? Oh, they go camping, or they go fishing, or they go this, and they go to that. And so, well, we're retired. And they quit their Sunday school class, and they quit this, and they quit that, because we're retired. No, I don't. I just smile and nod, you know. Oh, my man, I couldn't repeat what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I've learned. I have. I've been gracious. I'm much more gracious than I used to be. He was saying something about praying for me here. He said, I don't know if you want prayer or not. I said, yeah, I want yours. I had a guy one time, I was going street preaching. He was supposed to go with me. And just before I went to Bible school or anything, I just heard about it, wanted to go do it. And this other guy said, I'll go with you. I said, okay. So we went to church, and after church, he was like, let's go. He said, well, my mom, we're having a deal at home, and I better not go today. And he said, but I'll pray for you. I said, I don't want your stupid prayers. Big sissy, you don't want to go. You ain't going to get nowhere with your prayers. You think that's mean? No, read your Bible. Amen. God doesn't live righteous. Even his prayer's an abomination. So I don't need him. I said, pray against me. I'd probably have a better chance of surviving. Amen. You didn't get in this to quit, did you?
Amen.
I got in this to keep on doing until God takes us home.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm just checking it out. I had a preacher tell me that one time at a preacher's fellowship. His wife taught a Sunday school, taught a public school and elementary, and his wife wrote some books, a little children's books, and no kidding, this is out of this guy's mouth. This ain't preacher talk. This is the truth. All right? And this old boy, y'all are really slow. Anyway, his name was Greg Wagner. If he hears about this, tell him I said so, and I'd say, he'll still think he's a punk. Anyway, so he come to me and said, my wife wrote these books, and she's going to go on a book tour. And if it takes off, I'm out of here. He's pastor of Bible Baptist Temple in Amarillo, Texas. He's an hireling. The only reason he's doing it is he gets paid. And when he has something better deal, he's leaving. And I told you I grew in grace. I thought, well, leave now. That church went, he grew that church from about 120 down to nothing before he left. They sold the building, merged with another church, and couldn't fill that church up. That church building held almost 1,000 people. And it's nothing now. You say, what's the matter? Bunch of hirelings, no war horses, no work horses. We just got a bunch of Tennessee pretty horses and a race horses. But we don't have anybody to stick with it. Let's bow our head. Father, thank you for giving me the opportunity.